Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word. John 15, verse 9, New International Version. Are you ready? Forget it then. I'm not going to start. Are you ready? Okay. I'm gone for a week. You didn't forget to keep talking back to the preacher, did you? Okay. All right, let's go. John 15, 9 through 17. Are you ready? All right, let's go. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, to love each other as I have loved you. No greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends, for one's friends. You are my friends. Everybody say, I'm his friend. I'm his friend. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you might go and bear fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. And this is my command, love each other. Let's pray. Father, thank you for what you've done already in this service, now in the moments that remain. I pray that there'd be a great release of your power as your word is preached, that you would be so gracious, God, to hide me behind your cross and use these lips of clay to burn faith in the hearts of your people as your word goes forth and doesn't return void. Have your way. We're dependent upon you. Holy Spirit, have your way. May the gifts be in operation as you instruct us, as you encourage us, as you release hope. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to three or four people and say, hey, are you a friend of God? Come on, say, are you a friend of God? Come on, are you? Are you a friend of God? Friendship in the Bible is a beautiful topic. I heard somebody say if you have two or three lifetime friends, then you're a wealthy man or a wealthy woman. Two or three lifetime friends that stick with you through thick and thin. If that was the measuring rod of being blessed, then I know many people that are way over the top. I have dozens and dozens of lifetime friends. Of course, they're at different levels of relationship, but as I stand here, if there was ever a trial in my life, and I'm sure there's trials to come, we'll overcome every one of them, amen? How many of you know things happen? Amen. It's just horrible when it's on the inside of you, but things happen, challenges happen. I'm believing for the blessing of God to not only, it is on my life, I'm believing for it to be on your life, and then you walk in that. But there are times where you might get a phone call. I got one a couple of weeks ago. Pastor Daniel, I said, yes. He said, I need you now. Well, I need you now turned into me getting quickly a plane ticket with Pastor Karen and going to the aid of a lifetime friend. And God has radically turned that whole situation around for the glory of God. Come on, friendship's a big deal. I spent time in Maui at the Power Conference, and some of you might not be aware of what that is, but we have three different main conferences, worldwide conferences, and they're held in the Hawaiian Islands. This is one of them, always in September. We have a number of conferences here. We have our own Power Conference, save the date, 14th through the 17th of February. February 14, 15, 16, 17. The Hammonds are coming. Brian and Jesse Gibson are coming. Jordan Hodges is coming. Some of these incredible prophets and pastors and those with apostolic anointing are going to come. It is going to be amazing. Pastor Josh will be here also. We're putting that all together. So we have conferences here, but worldwide we have a conference three times a year, like Israel. That's how it's framed. Israel would gather mandatorily three times a year. We gather mandatorily three times a year. Oftentimes, I've been the guest speaker at what is called Oahu, King's Oahu. How many of you ever been there? All right, Neo Valley Center, thriving church there. But this year, the Lord said, you're not going to be a guest speaker. You're going to serve over in Maui. I said, yes, sir. And we got to serve. And while I was there, I met no less than, I saw no less than 100 people I've not seen for 10 years from different churches I've pastored within Kings, and had people weeping on me, showing me their children, showing me their new wife or their new husband. I got saved when you were in Kauai. I got saved when you were in Molokai. These are places that I pastored prior to coming here some 18 years ago now. And I was overwhelmed at how God brings this closeness in church. You know, a lot of people don't know that. I'm looking out, I'm seeing Coco and DeLynn. Coco and DeLynn were like, they grew up in the church. They were teenagers in the church in Maui. They were there when Dr. Morocco showed up in 1980, 1981. You prayed him in. And I'm so honored that you're here today. And such an encouragement to me and my family. Minister Micah, where are you? You were here somewhere. Five generations, his kids are the fifth generation in this house. Now, I'm gonna tell you what that says. Pastors and staff members that have been 30 and 40 years on the staff, you know what that says? It says healthy, and it says covenant, and it says lifetime relationship and friendship, and it's a beautiful thing. And a lot of people don't know what that's like because they'll only go to a church for a year or two if the air conditioning's not working and they leave, or if there's some sort of a hiccup and they get offended or something that is not here. I'm saying generally, that's kind of how it happens. And then most pastors don't stay. Average pastor will stay 3 to 5 years. And I heard that some new statistics is 2. I haven't gotten a burial plot because I don't plan on dying, but I'm not going anywhere. Whether you like it or not, I'm stuck. You're stuck with me. God's going to raise up an army of people. I'm so grateful to be home. I'm so grateful for friendship, not only with you and to be your pastor and to have very close friends, but more than anything, I'm so grateful to be a friend of God. Friendship in the Bible. If you think about friendship in the Bible, you look through Scripture, there's so many stories. I mean, the first friends really is Adam and God. And then, of course, you got Adam and Eve. I mean, you could go on and on. Moses and Aaron are friends. Well, they're brothers, of course. And Jacob had some friends. Some friends, with friends like that, you don't need enemies. They're called Job's comforters. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel 3. David and Jonathan, another fine example. Ruth and Naomi. Oh, I love that. I want to read the scripture, Ruth and Naomi. It's a mother and a mother-in-law. Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or turn back." This is Ruth 1, verse 16 to 17. "Turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God." Powerful. Elijah and Elisha. New Testament, Mary and Elizabeth. You know, anytime God's doing something supernatural in your life, you need to find an Elizabeth, somebody you can share that with. And Elizabeth, of course, was pregnant with John the Baptist, and Mary came and shared, "I am pregnant with the Messiah." And John the Baptist, filled with the Holy Spirit, leaped. Wow. Jesus and his disciples, Jesus and Lazarus in John 11, Paul and Timothy in the New Testament. You say, well, that's mentor and mentee. Well, sure, but there's certainly a friendship. I was so blessed to hear from Dr. Morocco, and if you don't know, he went through a quadruple bypass, and his life was spared. He was basically, like they say, a walking heart attack, and nobody knew. And he had had pain and all kinds of things. But you know, what they found is CEOs and executives that are really building something and really on the move, they have a high tolerance for pain. They just move through it because some people are a pain in the neck and you got to get over it. And sometimes you have opposition and you just got to get over it. And so he was just constantly getting over physical things. Going, I'm healed and whole. I'm healed and whole. Well, a friend insisted that he go get a test. He went in for the test and they said, don't move. And you're not going anywhere. And he would have gone in the next day for open heart surgery, but they couldn't get an opening. So he went in the day after. And we almost lost Dr. Morocco. And so grateful we did. He called me on Sunday morning a week ago. I said, Pastor Morocco, you're not supposed to be making calls. He said, I wanted to find out how Anchorage went. We opened Anchorage. He wants to report. I said, it was awesome. We had 415 people and God moved in power. It's amazing. He says, hallelujah. And then in the background, I hear his daughters, Dad, it's not a business call. And he's like, well, I just wanted to call and hear your voice. Don't be concerned, Pastor Daniel. God's got me. I'm coming through this thing. And can I tell you what that did for me? It just comforted me. That's a Paul and Timothy type relationship. But it's a friendship, certainly. Paul and Silas is another one. It's a radical statement from the text. Oh, I don't think I said Abraham. Of course, Abraham and Lot. Abraham, really, he's a friend of God. And the text talks about that, which we'll see in just a moment. Radical statement from the text. Look at verse 14. And we do have notes. We do have notes for you. You go ahead and fill those in. I was stopped by Pastor Kinsai when I was in the islands. And he said, Pastor Daniel, the churches in the Philippines listen to you every service. They watch all of your messages. And I just want to say thank you. So what's up, Philippines? God bless you. Oh, we love you. We'll look forward to, we're going to do a crusade in the Philippines or something. Pastor Kinsai and I are working that out. And Vietnam, God's pouring out his spirit in Vietnam. Just absolutely amazing miracles in Vietnam. The dead being raised, like amazing miracles. There's an explosion of God's power all over the earth. Look at verse 14 from our text. John 15, verse 14. You are my friends. You are my what? My friends. If you do what I command. So the entrance into being the friend of God is do what he commands you. You know how people feel about you by the way they treat what's important to you. Thank you, Pastor Karen. I got an amen from the front row. The way that you respond to what's important to other people that you say you love, that's how you show you love them. We should probably move on. Jesus says this to them. And a friend of God, Jesus is God. Go to John 8. It's important to hear this because a Jehovah's Witness will tell you something else, which is a farce and a lie. And other cults will tell you the same thing. Jesus is a brother of Satan. On and that. Jesus is not. How many of you glad that Jesus is not the brother of Satan? All right. And when you die, you're not getting like a planet with celestial sex partners either. Amen. And they don't know where the golden glasses are. It's a farce. All right, that's all code for talking about Mormonism. Most Mormons don't know their doctrine. They're some of the kindest people I've ever met, even more Christians, some Christians I know. How many of you know that's true? I don't know why they drink coffee. That's weird to me. But John 8, the whole thing is weird, honestly. John 8, verse 53. Listen to these words. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died. And so did the prophets. Who do you think you are? Jesus replied, if I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. I love Jesus preaching. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. And they say in verse 57, they say to him, these are the Pharisees, Sadducees, couldn't seize, wouldn't seize. They were blind. "You're not yet 50 years old," the Jews said to him, "and you've seen Abraham?" "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." Go to Exodus 3. Verse 59 says they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself. How do you do that? Well, if you're God, it's pretty easy. It wasn't his time. Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. Exodus 3. So everybody say, "I am." So Jesus says, "Before Abraham was born, I am." And I can't move on, and I'm looking at the clock, and I realize I have some time to do it, so I'm going to, but still, go to Exodus 3. If you look at the story of Abraham, he's spoken to by God to go a 3 days journey with his son Isaac, the promised Isaac, who he waited and tarried for. Abraham, father of many, had no children. He was beyond the age where you could have children, as was his wife, Romans 4, but being fully persuaded against all hope, against all circumstances, looking at his physical body, looking at the conditions of natural man and natural law, he believed God, and he was fully persuaded, and in that, Abraham believed God, and it was accredited to him as righteousness, and Isaac comes forth. So you go to look at the story, you see Isaac is now going with his father Abraham. Abraham is told to go to this place that the Lord would show him. So he heads off for 3 days. On the third day, everybody say the third day. It says that he saw, Merahok is the Hebrew, he saw something of God afar off, or saw the place afar off. Everybody say he saw the place. And that's the region of Moriah. Saw the place afar off. He takes his son Isaac, he goes up the mountain, and he says to those who are with him, "We'll return." He goes up the mountain to sacrifice his son, his one and only son, his begotten son. It is a type and a shadow. Please follow. It's a type and a shadow of Christ. And that would be powerful enough if that was it. But the place that God showed him and the place where he went to sacrifice his son is none other than the same place of where Jerusalem is and where the cross is. Later, millennium later, God would send his only son, his one and only son, to be crucified in that same spot. So when Jesus says, "Abraham saw my day," and you tie into the Hebrew word merahok, it could be that God actually showed him the Messiah. God himself will provide a sacrifice, he said to Isaac. God himself will provide a lamb. Abraham, being a prophet, passed the test, and God doesn't provide a ram. What did he provide? He didn't provide a lamb. I just got off a plane again. Amen. He didn't provide a lamb. He provided a what? A ram. So was he lying when he said to his son, "God will provide a lamb"? No. He's talking about the Lamb of God. It's this incredible fulfillment. Now Jesus in John is saying, "Abraham saw my day and rejoiced." Exodus 3, verse 14, Moses said to God, asking him, you know, "What is your name?" In verse 13, "What should I tell them?" Verse 14, God said to Moses, "I am who I am." The self-existent one, tell them the "I am" has sent you. So when Jesus says, should be like amening or something right now. Are you guys okay? Did somebody come in here and break my church? Are you guys all right? Gone for a week. When Jesus said, "Abraham saw my day," he says, I am. Jesus says, "I am." He basically says he's God. That's why they picked up stones to kill him. He's declaring himself not just as a prophet, not a priest. Oh, he's both of those. He is God. Colossians talks about that. Scripture talks about it over and over. He is the exact representation of the Father in the flesh. Jesus is God. He's not Satan's brother, he's God. So when he says in John here, which we're reading, when he says in John 15, you are my friends, it's literally saying that you can be a friend of God. Come on, somebody say amen. That's incredible. The ramifications are vast. Abraham was a friend of God. So what happens when you live in friendship, when you live as a friend of God? I see five things here in the text, five things. Write them in your notes, Roman numeral 3. You'll have, anybody know? Joy. You'll have joy. J-O-Y. Joy. Not happiness. Happiness depends on happenings. Joy comes from the Lord. Years ago, Jace Edwards and Hannah, Pastor Jace Edwards, descendant of Jonathan Edwards, in the island of Maui, and Hannah was a new believer, and he said to me, brother, just remember the joy of the Lord, your strength. I'm like, amen, amen. What in God's name does that mean? And I heard it over and over, the joy of the Lord, your strength, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I come to understand all these years later that the joy is the flag that flies in the heart of the man or the woman who has Jesus enthroned. When you're a friend of God, there is not one thing, nobody can do anything about it unless you let them. Don't be a victim. You be connected, you abide in him, and joy will flow from your innermost being like a river. You'll be happy when other people are sad. Come on, you won't look like you're baptized in lemon juice. You'll be filled with the Spirit. Joy will overflow. Come on, joy, even in the midst of circumstances and trials and difficulties, you'll have joy. J-O-Y. That's a fruit of what happens when you live as a friend of God. Come on, lift your hand to heaven and say, oh, I want to be a closer friend of God. Joy. Verse 11, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you. God's joy in you. Think about that. Why are you laughing? Because I'm happy. I've got joy. You'll have love. Look at the second thing. You'll have love. John 15, 9. As the Father loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. Wow. You know, that's what you're looking for, whether you realize it or not. This might be your first time in a church like this. Maybe you haven't been to church ever before in your life. Or maybe you've been here dozens or hundreds of times. I don't know. Those online in the Philippines and all over the world, potentially, you are looking for the love of God. It is the love of God that will make you whole in Christ. That's it. And it's not some ethereal, far-off thing. You will experience his love. And he showed us what love is. How do we know what love is? That one man laid down a life for another. So you're supposed to love your brothers. Basically, you're supposed to lay down your life for each other. I mean, he's like, whoa, that's intense. I know. But that's what real love is. It's not an emotion. That's why when people say, well, I just fell out of love. No. No, you don't know what love is because it's not something you fall into either. Oh, there are the emotions and your hair stand on end and the warm fuzzies and all of that. Try that on when you're going through a trial and your husband doesn't like you. Or your wife, you feel like she doesn't like you. Try that on. You have to die. You're going to have a marriage that is going to make it. You have to lay down your life over and over and over and over again. And really, if you're going to have real friends, that's what real friends do for each other. You're going to have a real church. That's what a church does. That's what a church does. We just put down our flesh and serve with everything our emotions are. It's kind of like the gravy. I'm thankful. I think I'm thankful for it. But you don't live I used to live my life based on my emotions. I don't. I live my life based upon the word. I'm going to do. All right. Real life illustration. I got upgraded to first class. And usually when that happens, Pastor Karen is upgraded too. I'm the frequent flyer more so than she is. And so I'll get the upgrade. And usually our flights are connected. The reservation, they're linked. But for whatever reason, they weren't linked. And so I get the upgrade. And there we are having our dinner before we get on the flight from Seattle. This is just yesterday. Get on the flight from Seattle to Anchorage. I've got the first class upgrade. And I said, yeah, it's yours. She's like, really? I'm like, well, of course. She's like, do you want to do that? I'm thinking, what do you mean? Well, I mean, she says, and she was so sweet, if you really want to give it to me, then I'll take it. But if you really want it, then you should have it. I think, well, what do you mean? Like, because my flesh wants to sit in first class. Amen, with all this stuff. But that's not the right thing. The right thing is to bless my wife. How would you like that? Oh, hey, Pastor. Hey, where's your wife? She's in the back. She knows I need to protect the anointing. She understands I'm the man. Yeah, you're an idiot. Yeah, so my flesh wanted the seat. But the right thing is for me to bless my wife. And so if you really want to, I said, well, it's the right thing. Of course I want to. There's another part of me that wants it myself. Come on, somebody say you'll have love. I see ladies elbowing husbands all over. The third thing you'll see out of this text, if you're friends with God, is you'll have these promises, right? So the first one is what? You'll have joy. The second one is you'll have love. If I wasn't in Christ, I'd have taken that. She's sitting in the back of the bus. I wouldn't even be married, honestly. 27 years. Hallelujah. Not as long as some of you, maybe longer than others. Marriage, that's how marriage works. You prefer one another. You lay down your life for the other person, quit demanding your own needs, fell out of love. You don't even know what it is. Go read 1 Corinthians 13, and you tell me if you're doing that, Mr. Fall Out of Love. I'm going to trade in for a new version. I just got news for you. It won't work. Male or female. You'll have a life that bears fruit. Look at verse 16. You didn't choose me. Oh, my. But I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit and fruit that lasts. When my daughter was born, and we're about to have our granddaughters on the way, I think about 4 weeks, Pastor Karen, six weeks, Pastor Karen's going to head over and be there when our daughter comes. And if I'm able to be there, I will as well. But she's going to go ahead of time. You should see that beautiful daughter of mine all nesting with her mother, nesting everything. You know what I'm talking about? Fixing the room and getting the stuff and doing it. And she's like, oh, it's just awesome. Baby's kicking. I'd sit there and worship, and I'd push twice. And the baby pushes back. I'm, yeah, let's go. You worship her. When Hannah was born, she went into a real crisis. Had heart failure, her lungs filled with fluid, and she was raced off to the NICU unit and NICU unit in Honolulu. So they flew her and they flew me on a plane. I got there before her, and I was in this small waiting room that was like, I think it was like a large closet, but it had this one TV. And I'm praying in tongues. I'm praying in the spirit, which is what you do when you don't know how else to pray. I mean, I prayed everything else already. I'm interceding. And it's like the TV just goes to T.D. Jakes, like randomly goes to a T.D. Jakes thing. And he's preaching on this text. And he's walking back and forth. The Lord says he chose you. He picked you. I selected you. I'm like, he selected me. God selected me. I chose you. And it was like God started talking to me through T.D. Jakes. I started repeating everything he said. I've been chosen. I've been called. I've been selected. I've been appointed. I'm called by God. I've got purpose. I started standing up, and the power, I stood up. I started standing up. Then I stood up. And then The power of God came on me as I'm saying, I'm called, I'm chosen, I'm selected, I'm appointed to bear forth fruit. God, you live on the inside of me. In the name of Jesus, I got so set on fire that I busted out of that little place like full of boldness and fire. And when I broke out, I was just gonna start praying for babies. I thought, I just gotta start praying for all the kids now. We're just gonna lay hands on every little baby and do whatever we can do until my daughter gets here. I come out and I look at the end, I look down the hallway, and here comes the emergency flight people with my daughter in an incubator. And so I know it's my daughter, I can feel it. So I'm just rushing at them and I'm coming. And they said, are you the father of this, of baby Bracken? I said, I am. And they said, you've got nothing to worry about. We've never seen such a violent child that wants to live like this child. Has ripped all the tubes out over and over, beating against, come on, one day old, and she's beating against the side of the side of the incubator. She said, you got nothing to worry about, a will to live. This child's gonna be something. Boy, were they prophesying. Come on, you've been chosen. You've been chosen to bear forth fruit. You've got a purpose. Come on, say, I've got a purpose. So many people don't understand that God's got a purpose for you. He's got a plan for you. He died and rose again and selected you. He knew you before you were in your mother's womb. He knits you together. He knows you're rising up. He knows you're setting down, and he's got a plan. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you. How many of you are glad that God's got a plan? Can you say amen? God's got a plan. He has a purpose. You didn't come forth out of primordial slime and the results of complex chemical reactions. You're made in God's image. You came from heaven, and one day you're gonna go back there if you're born again. But you must understand that you are supposed to be alive right now, because if you weren't supposed to be, you wouldn't be. And if the devil could have taken you, he would have. You've been selected by God, appointed by God, chosen by God to bear forth fruit, to bring change in the earth. I know that God is able to do it through you, do it through me, do it through us. This nation can turn around. Come on, somebody said, God's turning things around. Come on, say it. God's turning things. Come on, say, I've got purpose. There's nothing the enemy can do to you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against you shall be condemned. You have a destiny. You have a purpose. Oh, I'm a friend of God. Come on, somebody say, I'm a friend of God. Come on, somebody say, God's got me. Come on, say, God's got my back. You'll receive answers to prayer. You'll receive answered prayer. Verse 16, you didn't choose me. I chose you. Appointed, the word appointed there is it's really a legal, like a sheriff would be appointed or somebody would be appointed to office. It's like that. It has a lot of authority. It's delegated authority. I appointed you. I've been appointed by God. Like when Dr. Morocco gives me instruction to go tell somebody to go do something, he's not able to get there or able to reach them. If I show up and I say, yeah, Dr. Morocco told me this is what's happening. They're like, oh, okay. You know, either I'm lying or I'm telling the truth. Liars go to hell. I don't practice that and don't do it. I was trying to get in to get my registration early at the conference so that I could get it early and not wait in the line. Well, I got so convicted. I went to go right behind the line and get my registration. And there's a security guard there. Now, I've been in the church for a long time. Most people know, you know, that I'm pastor of this work, know that I've been there, you know, almost 30 years now. So I walk up to this young security guard and he's like, Pastor Bracken, go ahead. I said, are you supposed to keep people out? Because I went to walk in. He's like, oh, Pastor Bracken. And I said, are you supposed? He says, I am. I'm sorry. I said, yeah. I'm gonna stay out. But he saw that I had authority to go in the back. If you don't understand, you have authority and you don't use it. Then if you don't use your authority, then you don't really have it. It was the wrong thing for me to do. So I waited in the line. Might not do that next time. Answer to prayer. Come on, answered prayer, authority, appointed you. You have authority. Go bear forth fruit, fruit that will last. Everybody say fruit that will last. That's eternal fruit. All your money's going to burn. All your stuff's going to burn. All that garage, that's your garage. Don't raise your hand if your garage is full of junk. America is the only place we have garage. We fill our garages and then we have sales. We get rid of it and then we fill it up again. That's not what's going to last. What's going to last is eternity, eternal things, souls. Souls are the only thing you can take with you, leading people to Christ. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. In my name is key. You can ask for your ex-husband, ex-wife to be eliminated from the planet. That would not be in his name. And his name means his character, all that his name means, his word. When you pray things in alignment with the word, it will happen. Come on, somebody say it's going to happen. All right, so the elimination of your ex-wife or husband is not in his name. You can pray. Can I give you some insight on that kind of thing? You can pray, Lord, change them or remove them. If people are in the way of the purposes of God, you can pray that, change them or remove them. It's good that they would be saved. I'm not sure what removed is, but out of the way, so the purposes of God. There is situations in your life. In fact, I say to you by a word of knowledge, there's a number of people here. You've got situations in your life that it's like the enemy is holding you back, that there's a decision maker, somebody in the way. Raise your hand if you need something changed or removed. Raise your hand right now. Raise your hand right now. You need something. You need somebody moved out of the way, the situation to be changed or somebody be removed. They can be transferred. We've had that happen. All right, pray this with me. Say, God, I stand before you and I ask you in Jesus' name, change this person. Or move them out of the way in Jesus' name. Amen. Love to hear the testimony about that. You'll receive revelation. I could go on and on about prayer, but it's like a blank check. You can pray anything. He'll do it. You'll receive revelation. Psalm 103, verse 7, he made his ways known to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. Do you know that God will make his ways known to you? You receive revelation. Isn't that amazing? How many of you need revelation? Everyone ought to raise their hand. Yeah, I need God to speak to me. I need revelation. What do I do with this relationship? How do I handle this resource? What do I do here? He'll speak to you. He'll speak to you. What's the next thing I should do? All right, make Jesus your friend. The first thing is ask him into your life. Ask him into your life. And that's a process of repentance. It's godly sorrow, not worldly sorrow. It's not a recipe where you just pray, I believe he died again. I died on a cross. I believe he rose again from the grave, Lord. Sorry, forgive me. Amen. No. If it's not from your heart, it doesn't work. It's a little formula that we have, but it's repentance, really a godly sorrow. And God's got to lift the scales from your eyes to pray that, because you won't know. It's not religion. It's a relationship. So he was crucified for you. That's got to become real. So how to be a friend of God? Number one, or A, ask Jesus into your life. Repent. Number two, live in obedience to his commands. And really, Jesus said there's two. The most important ones, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second one, love your neighbor as yourself. And he talks about the command. Understand that you're chosen. That's what happened to me when I was sitting in that hospital. I started to sink into despair. And I realized, as T.D. Jake was preaching, the Spirit of God coming upon me, I've been chosen. My daughter's chosen. She's selected. So is my son. So is my wife. You selected the Bracken family. You selected me. You chose me. You appointed. I'm not going down. I'm going up. There's no sickness, no disease, no infirmity. There's no ailment, no problem, no trial, no mountain, no sea. No waves, no wind. There's nothing that can stop a man on purpose filled with the glorious presence of God, because God is going to fulfill his purpose and destiny through me and through you and through us. And I just got full of faith. I said, oh no, all these babies need to get healed. And I came out and boom, there she was, pounding on the side of the incubator, full of life. Understand you're chosen. And then lastly, talk with your friend. Talk with your friend. Pray. Pray. That's talking with God. Pray.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.